We're not going to study Romans today. We're going to look at something that... We're going to go traveling through the scriptures this morning. Because I want to talk about this. In most of the cases, confess means to say the same thing. It's homologio or logio. In some places, it means to openly acknowledge, or what we normally think of as confess. But let's look at a few places. Let's go to Matthew 10. All right, verse 27. What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in light. What you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. That's pretty easy for a few people here like Ken and others. Fear you not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father. Now, we've talked about that word deny there, and it means to dam up, to not let out. But the word, who confess me before men, is homologio. So it means whosoever shall speak the same thing before men, and whosoever shall dam it up, he will dam up you before the Father. Amen? Okay, John 12. Okay, in verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And there the confession is exomologio, and it means to openly acknowledge. Got it? Openly acknowledge. Let's go to Philippians 2.
So here it would mean that they believed on him,
but they did not openly confess him.
They didn't say what they believed.
Right. Now, every one of us have been in both of the places where we have not, because of whatever circumstances, we have not openly confessed him, and we have not spoken the same thing. No. Okay, let's go to Philippians 2. Verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And that is, again, openly acknowledge. Every tongue should confess him. What's going on, Mr. Kevin?
No.
I'm
asleep.
You're asleep? All right. All right, James 5.
Just one comment, this confession. The circumstances that they're talking about here are... when it's very difficult, we might lose everything to confess.
Right.
God before the other chief leaders.
Okay, here's one that applies to us. Verse 14, James 5, 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And there, confess is the exomologio, which means openly talk it, openly speak it. Now, this is the problem. This is a real problem for every person to openly confess your faults one to another. We secretly believe that if we do, then we won't be accepted. And in fact,
we know we'll be in the skits.
Yeah, you'll be in the skits. This is the thing that has been avoided. Well, it's been finessed in the Protestant churches. You can't possibly confess, you know, to 100,000 people. In the Catholic Church, it's private. And so, in both cases, in my opinion, we must have the opportunity and the environment to be able to confess openly our faults. You know, we tried that when we did the hot seats. I'm not sure that was necessary, but we did it anyway. It was necessary for idolatry, I'm sure of that. But how... this is a real issue, because the whole idea is what we've seen so often. When you confess something, when one confesses something that is seems to them the deepest, darkest thing that they can't possibly... It invariably is light to someone else, or it gives. That's why this what we are doing while we are in this veil of tears is we are filling up the affliction that is lacking in the body of Christ, or that is, and according to Paul. And so part of that is this openly acknowledging that our own faults, because it's difficult for the one with the faults nigh unto impossible in many cases, but it is freedom for somebody else, and therefore it knits the body together in love. That's what we are about. Does everybody understand that? What are you doing, Gary? You're cogitating.
Concerning what you said.
Okay. Let's go to, now let's go to, no, that's enough. I don't want to go. I just wanted you to see that sometimes you've got to see whether or not it's homologio or exomologio. One is open confession, open acknowledgement. The other is speaking the same thing. They should be one. So that it's only logio or logos or whatever. But it's in terms of how you describe it, sometimes it's its use in the scriptures, sometimes it's homologio, and sometimes it's exomologio. Is that how you say it? Exomo, yeah. All right.
Doesn't one come before the other? I mean, they don't do the
exomo.
Bite your tongue?
No. Just my back. Caught up to me, yes, from yesterday.
Wow, just sitting
there. Oh, just moving. All right, keep going.
You'll get no. Yeah, this is exomologio.
Yeah.
Would you go get some ice?
Yeah,
you want me to get it for you?
Yeah, would somebody
it's in the get the ice
pack.
Blue thing that's in the door of our refrigerator.
The freezer or the fridge?
Sorry. Freezer. Move away quickly.
Where's the confess one about where you speak something and confess it into existence?
It's not there.
That's not in there?
No. That's the Kenneth Copeland revised whatever.
That's where, whatever you say or whatever you ask for, that I think that's where that comes from.
Yeah, whatever you say shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven, if you speak in his name. But his name doesn't mean mouthing the word Jesus, it means being in the same nature. Yeah, you cannot, and again, you cannot be in Jesus' name in your name. This is another gimmick, but I mean another crazy thing, but we're putting another video up there today. I think today, maybe it's already up there, but where Kenneth Ken Copeland is saying something to the effect like all the demons in hell will and every enemy will have to bow down in the name of Copeland. I just about threw up.
Was he making a mistake? Or was he?
No, he was talking about.
I'm a little god.
Yeah. It is really creepy. And everybody clapped is what's really creepy in his audience. But it's important. And the only way we can say the same thing is to hear the same thing. And the hearing of the same thing is without the I motive. And that becomes almost, you know, without recognizing your death, without. And that's what it means. Mortify your body. You cannot, I mean, just consider dead. See it as dead. You cannot speak the same thing because you will always have a reference point back to you. And that is evil, beyond evil, because you're still looking at the world vis-a-vis as a mirror. You're looking at it and you see everything. You see a beautiful woman or a good-looking guy, and you say, but it's back to you. You hear something, and you say, well, how can I use that? And then what's really evil is you hear these words of the Scripture, and you say, well, what can I do with that, and how can I make that work? And it just becomes, and that's why if you only do that, as long as you continue with the I motive, then you're never a doer of the word, you're a hearer only. Let's look at that in James, since we're in James. James 1. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. Now, again, that's why whatever you look at, whatever you look at, whatever you read, you behold your face in a glass. And I'm not just talking about the scriptures, everything. And your automatic response is, how can I use this? Or what does this mean to me? And that is the evidence of one whose ears are holding, whose eyes are covered over, because you still cannot see through to see him. You see everything as a reflection of you. And I know I'm reading a couple people's mail. You can't, that the minute you do that, you know that you've left the mercy seat. Okay, here we go. But if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So the minute I look in here and see, you know, that whole, what's that word, stichomancy, where I'm going through and get my word for the day. Anybody ever done that, Gary? You used to do it every day when you had Christ for the Nations.
No, I only did it once. It worked, too, though.
That was precious. You went and said, go
did
down
it
and hang, go down and do likewise. I did two standard stuff.
You know that ragged Bible I carry around? When I bought that Bible, I did it once. And I opened it up and it went, said, thy word is true.
Again, it's all I need. Does the I ever leave?
We call it the little I.
The little I.
Must be another presbyter.
I know I'm giving you so
much. God's the uppercase I need to work.
Again, every once in a while, it seems like you believe in the quartet. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and me.
But I abandoned that from the
beginning. Good. All righty. I don't feel like talking anymore. Gary has ruined this whole Bible study. Anybody have any response to any of this?
I should tell the quartet story of the Dang Brubeck Quartet when they were very, very popular. They'd been together for many years, and they were being interviewed by a journalist, and he starts out asking one of them, so how many of there are you in the quartet?
Can I tell my Dave Brubeck story?
I haven't heard it.
When I was flying to...
Did they want you to join?
No.
Hell no.
I flew when I went to Germany to do that deal with Jeff Sterling, the documentary on the early life of Hitler. My seatmate, because I was sitting in first class because it was paid for by Jeff. Actually, it was more than first class. But anyway, my seatmate was Dave Brubeck. He's really a neat guy. Anyhow.
I do have a comment here.
I'm waiting with bated breath.
I know. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and that law of liberty to me is the emptying of self. In that, you're free.
Yeah, the perfect law of liberty is referenced in many places is Jesus Christ. And so also that means that wherever you look in here, you see only him. But you can't see that without emptying. So
yeah, and you've always talked about the vacuum. You empty and the vacuum's created and something comes in.
Amen. It's probably going to get a little hot and heavy around here for the next few days or weeks, so keep your iron out for AK-47s. So. Huh?
Yeah, last week we had people driving by taking pictures.
Yeah.
Do people know that the office has moved from my house?
Put a little sign.
Come on, people. I need to.
Now what?
Kevin says it was Google.
What Harry did, when last time we went through something like this was he had put a sign that said "Holy," two doors down.
Like a garage sale sign over on the telephone pole out on Abrams.
All righty, take it, big guy.
These little tiny.